All right, back on the Young Turks. Brett Ehrlich, Jake Huger, Anna Kasparian with you guys. That's you, Brett. That's right. All right, Christina Oakes with a great, great tweet.
Hi, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Okay.
she's the bae.
She's the bae?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Okay.
Her.
All right, hey, bae. Okay. She writes in, oh, Trump won't crack down on Nazis, but will crack down on people who don't like him. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. So that's a great tweet because Christina and everybody, think about this, right? Trump loves to pick fights, mm-hmm. right? Oh, and oh, the Merck CEO left, I'm going to criticize him. The other CEOs left, he threw them under the bus, right? And said, oh, they're not winning or whatever. Rosie O'Donnell, Jeff Sessions, he'll even go after his own guys in public. The two people he has reluctance calling out are neo-Nazis in America and Vladimir Putin. My, if that's not telling, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I don't like the neo-Nazi thing. They haven't like really reinvented any Nazi stuff. It's just old Nazi things.
Yeah,
like,
what's new innovative. About it?
You're just still Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Wentz had a good one. He's like, these people who are saying they're not like Nazis. Like, I'm in a band. If people buy my merchandise and they collect weird stuff from my past, they can't say they're not a fan of this band.
Yeah.
You know? You're a Nazi.
Yeah. So last one for you guys. Just Ray here writes in, Trump voters I know have fallen deeper into the rabbit holes of non-reality. It's sad reading their attempts to justify his actions. I agree with that. Okay, now this has been such an exciting day and an exciting series of days that I forgot to tell you guys there's something really cool going on tonight. At 9 o'clock Eastern, I'm gonna be interviewing Chuck D and Tom Morello.
What?
Yeah, in the building, okay?
That's great.
And so Tom Morello, of course, from Rage Against the Machine, Audio Slave, and Chuck D from Public Enemy, who I listen to nonstop every single day for like 2 years in a row, freshman and sophomore year of college. So
you're so edgy.
Yeah, believe me, if I told you the other parts of the college story, not edgy.
No, I know them.
Anyway, they're here in the studio. Members get to see it live. Everybody else will put it up in about 24 hours because we need to, you know, edit it and get it up on the system. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and watch Chuck D and Tom Morello live at Rebel headquarters. And I'm also told that we have a discount on shoptyt.com. It's back to school. We're doing stuff like that, okay? Mm-hmm. The discount is too cool, like too cool for school.
Got it.
T-O or two, the number?
No, T-O-O, yes.
C-O-O-L, got it.
And that's 15% off, so panic and go do that. All right, Brett, what's next?
All right, Taylor Swift, love talking about her. Probably the only full album that is on my phone in its entirety without having to stream it from the cloud is 1989. Am I embarrassed by that? A little. Okay, let's get into it. Taylor Swift has won the case against her, and she has won the case against the DJ who sued her in the first place. What is the full story? Okay, so there's a DJ named David Mueller from Colorado. Taylor was doing a meet and greet, and this photo was taken. Now, according to Taylor, and now the justice system, in this photo, the man pictured on the right was reaching underneath Taylor's skirt and grabbing her buns. The person on the left is that guy's ex-girlfriend who, upon learning all this, ostensibly totally dumped him. As a result, Taylor told her mom that this happened, who's her manager, and her mom told the person who does all the radio meeting setup. They told the guy's employer and they fired him. As a result, that man sued Taylor. It became a big story in the media. Taylor sued back for $1, saying that this guy groped my butt, and she just won that case. They found in her favor, and now he has to pay her $1. This was, of course, symbolic. What does she say afterwards? She says, my hope is to help those whose voices should also be heard. Therefore, I will be making donations in the near future to multiple organizations that help sexual assault victims defend themselves. She acknowledged her. She said, I'm in a position essentially where I can do this lawsuit. When someone sexually assaults me, other people aren't. And if you didn't love Taylor Swift before, now you've got to. It's the law.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what the ruling says.
Okay,
Brett.
I'll write that down.
Okay, so my favorite part of the story was, remember, she didn't sue him first, he struck first.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, she cost me my job, And of course, he claims he didn't grab her ass. The judge didn't believe him and immediately threw out his lawsuit. They're like, okay, let's get started. Your lawsuit's nonsense, gone. Okay, now let's hear Taylor Swift's.
Right.
Now, of course, don't get me wrong, I'm kidding around. He, of course, heard it through and made the decision.
He threw out the part where Taylor was potentially to be held responsible for future lost wages against him. So the judge just said, listen, Taylor just told her mom you touched her butt. And after that, the court, it went down to your employer that you would do this and embarrass your radio station in this way. And so the judge threw that out. And then there was more case saying, like, for $300,000, the remainder of that guy's contract was still up for, essentially to be decided. And they decided, no, no one's responsible.
Wait, how much was his contract?
His contract, the remainder of his contract was up to $300,000. So it's $150 a year for 2 years.
For a radio
and he got fired
DJ.
Early for misconduct. Usually they have a morals clause in those kinds of.
What? But like, why did I make terrible mistakes in my life? How did that happen? How did a rando DJ in Colorado get an insane contract where the remainder of his contract's $300,000?
Yeah.
The remainder of his contract. The remainder of his contract. Okay. Anyway, sorry. That was shocking information. By the way, just to give you guys a little more $300,000, more details in this story. So this information traveled to his employer, and his employer didn't just decide to fire him immediately. They did their own investigation, and the DJ kept changing his story. And so finally, they're like, you're not being honest with us. We're going to let you go. So look, I think that the judge ruled the right way in this case. And Taylor Swift didn't go out of her way to like destroy his life. She didn't go to the authorities, which there is a case to be made that she should have, but she made the decision not to. Just don't grab people's asses if you don't want to lose your job.
And we covered this when this lawsuit first came about. If you have any sympathy for him because you're like, oh, how could they tell? First of all, that's why they do trials. And they just did a trial and decided he did do it. And the jury decided that. And secondarily, when they asked him, well, can we just get that recording of you talking to your employers mm-hmm. about the incident? Because that'll be great evidence. And you say you're right, so that would be great. He's like, oh, I spilled coffee on my laptop.
Yeah. What?
And they're like, but there's a hard drive that should also have it. Oh man, I lost the hard drive. But your cell phone also recorded it. He's like, I threw that one in the garbage.
Yeah.
Go on. And there were witnesses who saw him grab her ass. So
right.
That's why they came to this conclusion.
My favorite are her responses to his lawyer when they were doing this lawsuit. Vulture did an expose. It was essentially like the best comebacks from Taylor Swift. Here are some excerpts. Further using the photo as evidence of no wrongdoing, Gabe McFarland, who is the Mueller's lawyer, he told Swift that the front of her skirt showed no signs of displacement. Swift came through with the facts for him, because my ass is located on the back of my body. She's the best. I love her. And finally, this is Swift's best response may have come when she explained why no one else saw Mueller grabbing what Swift called, quote, a handful of my ass. Swift with the logistics. The only person who could have direct eye contact. Let me do that again. The only person who would have a direct eye line is someone laying underneath my skirt, and we didn't have anyone positioned there. She's so good.
Yeah.
And by the way, the bodyguard did see from the side that he had grabbed her ass. The only thing bodyguard said is, I don't know if it touched bare skin, which Taylor Swift says that it did. So this guy was so brazen, he went under the skirt and inside her underwear.
While his girlfriend is also posing in the photo with
and
him.
And then he had the temerity to sue her for that.
Yes.
So ridiculous. All right. Have we said our piece?
Yes.
I'm going to write an email. I'm going to write an email saying how great she is and send it to myself so I can read it. Okay. Now for the feel-good story of the year, Judge Judy. Normally, it's a place where you just listen to Judge Judy yell at idiots. Well, this week, it was home to the best thing I've ever seen in my life, ostensibly. There was a man who filed a suit against a woman saying she had his dog. And the woman said, no, I bought this dog from someone on the street, which ostensibly she had. And she said, this is not your dog. I have a statement from the veterinarian saying that it's older than you claim your dog to be. Judge Judy's like, I've heard enough. Bring in the dog and let the dog decide. Well, decide it did. Take a look.
down. Don't put the dog down.
Don't. Yes, that's you. That's baby boy.
That's my dog.
That's baby boy.
Does that to everybody, Miss Your Honor.
Hey, boy. Hey, dear. That's baby boy.
Pick him up,
baby boy.
Come
on, Mark.
Come on.
That's baby boy. Oh.
That's all. Take the dog home.
Oh my God, I love her so much.
I love that she got up. She's like, no, this whole thing's done. My work is done here. We're still having a conversation.
Oh my God.
And we finally have an answer to who let the dogs out.
Yes.
Apparently Judge Judy.
How's it going over there, Anna?
Oh my God.
You a little misty?
A little bit, but okay, so I didn't watch the video prior to us doing it on the show. So I watched for the first time along with you guys. And I knew that it would get me a little emotional, but I thought it would be because of the dog. I actually got more emotional because of the owner's response, because he got teary-eyed. And then seeing him get teary-eyed made me teary-eyed, because it made me think about how much I love my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, that bond is one of the most amazing things in the world. So I could imagine how frustrating it was for him to see some other woman take ownership of his dog.
If there's one thing I know, it's... Is this not on?
Animals are innocent.
There you go. I watched this in line. There's like a food truck outside, so I went and was buying whatever lunch, and I'm watching it in line. Crying, like not
you
crying.
Guys are so soft.
The whole buildup is like he's like, that's my dog, and I love her, or whatever it is. And then the woman's like, no, I have all this stuff, and he's just like, no. And as the dog's brought into this to the courtroom, he just sees it and he can't like so look away. And he looks, and the dog is all like shaking in the arms and.
So I don't own a dog, so I didn't cry like these two snowflakes over here. But my favorite part of the video was when Judge Judy's like, no, we're done with this.
Yeah.
She just gets up. From now on, whenever when I win an argument, I'm just like, okay, I'll see you later.
Take the dog.
Would it be absurd to watch it one more time?
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would. Let's do it.
Okay. Down. Don't. Put the dog down.
Don't. Yes, that's you. That's baby boy.
That's my dog.
That's baby boy.
Everybody.
Hey, boy. Hey, dear. That's baby boy.
Pick him up,
baby boy. Come on, Mark.
Come on.
That's baby boy. Oh.
That's all. Take the dog home.
And then in the middle, she's like, it's his dog. That's all. Take the dog home. That's my move from now on. The Judge Judy move. That's all.
Oh my God.
The main reason she wanted to get up and leave is because she couldn't take any more of it.
There you go.
I was really close to getting up and leaving too. I'm like, yeah, please, yeah, take it home so I don't have to look at this anymore. This is ridiculous.
Why? Because it melted your heart too much?
I'm like, as soon as you go to the door of that man and his dog, it'll be yapping.
Oh,
and then
come on.
When you take a step in,
it'll
dart back away, and then you take a step back, and it'll yap again. And you're like, well, someone shut this dog the fuck up. Or maybe pick the dog up like you did on Judge Judy so I don't have to watch this dog yap at my feet anymore and then run away. So that's the kind of dog that is the most annoying dog ever created. I'm gonna go any further. So you guys gonna hate me for this, but it's just this. There's
that dog did not once bark during that clip or when it came into. Not when it saw.
I'm
it's
just
a strange owner.
I'm just so relieved that JR took the title of dog hater back from me.
Yeah, you did. How dare you profile?
I get not liking that kind of dog because its eye boogers are disgusting.
I was going to go first. That's when I stopped. I was like, I'm not going to start talking about what he can't control.
Can we just
that dog
stop talking about the story now?
All right,
we got to take a break and then
red spots on his
we have
eyes.
More happy stuff to talk. Not happy, but positive, heartwarming stuff after the
okay. Let her keep the dog.
Okay. So there's a hillbilly you're going to love in the next segment. Plus, Obama with a tweet about Charlottesville went in the exact opposite direction of Trump and nearly broke a record. In fact, after he did the tweet, he's like, that's all. We'll show you when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Cody Blaine writes in, Brett Ehrlich wearing a collared shirt on TYT Live. We live in strange times indeed.
It looks really good.
It does. Thank you. No, I want collared shirt all throughout. That's what I say.
All right. I guess I have to now. My hat's down here on the ground.
Okay. Control Left says, pro tip, immediately before going to court for a canine custody hearing, wipe yourself down with bacon grease.
really smart.
Which I've tried in the past. All right. All right. Anyway,
wait, what?
No, to get the dog to love
you. I was winking at the right wing. So Scapacabra writes in, that's it. Take the dog home for the soundboard. So Bart, there you go.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Let's see if we can get that on the soundboard. The members of the day are Cameron Dozier Drum and Theron Smith. And you guys are going to get to see the post game today, where we will discuss. I have a prediction now on how much Trump has got left. Okay, how much time does he have left in his administration? And who is going to quit next in his administration? Those are super fun predictions. They're in the post game, tytnetwork.com/join. Plus at 9 o'clock Eastern today, Chuck D and Tom Morello in the studio. All the members get to watch it live. So make sure you check that out, tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, Brett, what's next?
All right. The number two most liked tweet of all time is what? This tweet from Barack Obama following the Charlottesville. No. Good job, guys. 11. We're going to graphic 11. Let's start that over. That is different, and it's actually a good positive tweet. It is a
although it had a swastika on it.
But it did. It is a Dr. Seuss political cartoon about the alt-right and essentially about the alt-right and Nazis. So that is, we'll talk about that later. Let's start that over. The number two most liked tweet of all time is this one from Barack Obama following the incident in Charlottesville. It's him outside a window with a bunch of kids of all races saying, quoting Nelson Mandela, saying, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. Continuing on into the next, people must learn to hate, and if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. And continuing finally into this one, for love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. A quote from Nelson Mandela. Now that original tweet, the first of the three, got 2.6 million likes. So Obama wins in terms of tweet likes over anything Trump has ever done.
First of all, it's irrelevant, of course, who wins on Twitter, except that Trump will think it's relevant.
Yes.
Like that'll get under Trump's skin, even though who cares. But to me, the reason why this story is interesting is because look at the different reactions of the two presidents. President Trump comes out and goes, both sides do it. And won't condemn neo-Nazis, the Klan, and white nationalists. Obama puts a picture of cute babies from all the different backgrounds and says, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It's a simple quote from Nelson Mandela. It's both much more heartwarming and more positive and better received by the nation, way better received by the nation, and also more savvy. Put cute babies in your tweet, you'll get more likes. Right? But Trump can't understand that because he's built on hate.
Yes.
So he thinks, no, I give them hate. That's why I got elected. That's why I'm going to give them more of that. And Obama goes in the opposite direction and people go, oh, remember the good old days?
I think about like the presidency of the United States the same way I think about weight now, right? So I'll tell you what I mean. So when you're young as a woman and you have a perfectly fine body, you're constantly nitpicking and you're like, oh God, I wish I lost weight. I wish I looked more toned. I wish this, I wish that, right? And then you get older and naturally, you know, your age kicks in, your metabolism slows down. Then you look back at yourself when you were younger and like, oh, I wish I really appreciated the way I looked and my health back then. I took it for granted. That's how I feel about Obama versus Trump.
I was wondering where you were going with this. So by the way, it's not just for women. I look back at my high school pictures when I thought I was overweight. It's like, you ain't seen nothing yet, big guy. Should have enjoyed that moment. So yes, we had very legitimate criticism of Barack Obama throughout.
Yes,
but
we did.
Boy, did wait till you get a load of the next president. So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't criticize Obama for the things he did wrong. Of course you should. But if you have a sense of proportionality, we could fill up not just hours full of shows, but years full of shows in criticism of Trump in these just last 7 months to as compared to Obama's 8 years.
Yeah, look,
it's night and day.
I don't regret the issues that I criticized Obama on. However, I do regret not appreciating the fact that I didn't wake up with this sense of panic every morning. You know,
no, I know, but it's such a low bar for Obama to clear. Like that,
yeah,
we
for
don't
wait.
Like we wake up in the morning and our president didn't cheer Nazis. Yay!
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like a weird thing to cheer.
You know, threaten nuclear war.
Yeah. Oh, we're still alive because our idiot, megalomaniac, moron of a president didn't accidentally start a nuclear war. That's a really low bar to clear. Obama cleared it easily by being sane.
Yeah.
In addition, just the numbers alone on Twitter, where people say that Trump has changed the game and is the most effective person on Twitter, Barack Obama has, Donald Trump has 35.9 million followers on Twitter. Barack Obama has 93.2 million followers on Twitter.
Wow.
And Trump has tweeted 35.5 thousand times to get those followers. Obama has only tweeted 15.5 thousand times. Trump's big tweets that you see online get anywhere, like the biggest ones get 180,000 likes about to maybe 200,000 likes. The Father's Day tweet that Obama made, just saying happy Father's Day, reflecting on what it means to be a father, got 1.3 million likes. So it's just this weird sense of disproportionality where people have just monolithed Trump as the person who does best on Twitter. And yes, he has the ability to, through that, communicate in a specific way to a certain audience. But it is misrepresentative of how people react to either person's Twitter, because there are more sensible people out there than non-sensible people, in my contention.
Even on Twitter.
Even on Twitter.
And so finally, let me leave you with this great point that one of our hosts made. So Michael Schur back in 2012 was covering the presidential election, and Donald Trump was threatening to get into that race back then. And he was covering it for the Young Turks on Current TV. And Trump had gone to Vegas, so we sent Michael to go ask Trump questions. And he was the first to ask Donald Trump at the time, hey, why do you think that the American people are clamoring for you to get in the race? Because he's always like, you know, puffing up his chest. And Trump said, look at how many Twitter followers I have. So of course they want me. And Michael said, Snoop Dogg has more. Does that mean he should run for president? Mm-hmm. And of course, Trump didn't know how to answer that. He's like, But you know what? Back then, that was really funny. Now it's become such a circus that you think maybe Snoop Dogg will run for president.
Kid Rock's running for Senate. All right, so one final story. We'll get to it right now. When it comes to videos online, a man named Bill Bunting hit a home run. Baseball joke.
I enjoyed it.
A lot of people criticized Trump for being ambiguous in his response to the events in Charlottesville. This man leaves no room for ambiguity. It is very clear what his feelings are. No, let's take a look at the video for it. Let's watch the video.
Hey, what the hell's going on out here? Man, I don't understand any of y'all in America anymore. I mean, I'm gonna tell you white nationalist sons of bitches up there in Virginia something though real quick. You don't represent me. You don't represent the South. You don't represent Southern heritage or Southern culture, and you damn sure don't represent white people. You're a little small speck of fucking crud in this country, and we're about tired of it. And that goes for the black haters, too. We're getting tired of the hate. Ain't it bad enough that the government kills us? Ain't it bad enough that the government murders the world? Ain't it bad enough that police murder us in the street? Huh? Ain't it bad that somebody else out there is ripping us off and stealing from us and killing us? But then you got to go make some fucking shit. Yeah, and y'all better cover your ears, because this ain't going to be pretty right here, because I'm goddamn sick of it. I'm sick of it. You go up with a bunch of torches, like you're going after some Frankenstein monster or something. Somebody ought to beat the goddamn dog shit out of y'all's asses.
Okay, now I don't condone that last part, okay? I want to be clear. I don't want the dog shit kicked out of anyone, okay? And I'm not sure I agree with the entirety of his message, but it is refreshing to see the other side of the South.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this is what I talk about all the time on the show, and I tell you, I love the South, and I love places like Kentucky and Alabama and Arkansas and Mississippi, all the places I've gone. And yes, there is a side that needs calling out, and we do call it out. But you don't get to see this side. You know what that is? That's straight talk. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's what I like. It's a fighting spirit. I just need that fighting spirit directed in the right way. And Bill Bunting, bless his heart, is certainly headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
I loved every part of that. I mean, look, again, the violence I don't condone. Okay, so let's get that caveat out of the way. However, not only did his message, you know, go against the stereotypes that I think people in the South deal with, but I just like how passionate he was. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was passionate, it was spirited, and I like that he's calling them out and saying, you guys are clowns. He's awesome. Anyway, much love to you.
Yeah.
So I had a friend from Turkey come in and study down in Georgia. And the minute he got there, he's like, I love this place. Okay, he's like, I like the rednecks and they like me. Okay, we like the same things. We like girls, we like gambling, we like booze, and we're honest, right? So, but those were more innocent times. The fact that he was from Turkey didn't matter at all back then, right? Nowadays, it might not be the same, at least for some folks. But it's good to see that the Bill Buntings of the world still have our back. Mm-hmm. That's how we're Americans together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he also watched Young Turks when we reached out to ask for permission to use that video. And you can watch the rest of the video on his Facebook page. He posted his reaction online on his like feed. Saying thank you.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, we're almost out of time. And so you folks know by now, right? We've been on Sirius for a couple months. So if you're on the radio, we love you guys. Check out the whole show when you get a chance. And you can do that with no ads anytime you want by becoming a member, tytnetwork.com/join. If you're not listening to us on Sirius, I'm gonna keep the good show going because we got that other story that you know is breaking news today, which is the Confederate monument being pulled down, and now somebody's been arrested over that. We got to give you that update. So that's on tytnetwork.com. That's and you can catch the show every day on there. You could also, by the way, watch it on youtube.com/tyt. And then don't forget tonight, if you're a member, you can watch live Chuck D and Tom Morello, Public Enemy, Rage Against the Machine. They're together now, and they're coming to Rebel headquarters. That's as cool as it gets. That's for our members first, and then you'll be able to see it up on TYT interviews later. So thank you for listening if you're on Sirius, and otherwise, come right back, and we've got a lot more show for you guys. Right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Brett, and Anna with you guys. We have another important story for you that we're going to tell you about in a second. I just want to remind you of one other thing, because not remind you because I didn't tell you earlier. We got a report from Johnny Pye from the field. We're going to show you a video of him that he recorded from Svalbard in the post game. It's very cute. You guys are going to love it. But I don't think there are any dogs. Are there dogs?
No. There's got to be dogs. It's all he's been posting is dogs.
I know, right?
Today he looks like one of the Zoolander brothers in a mining outfit.
Yeah, so we have that update for you guys, as well as my predictions on who's going to leave the Trump administration next, etc. And then, you know, that Chuck D. Tom Morello interview that we're going to have for you at 9 o'clock. It's about their new single, Unfuck the World. And the video for that was directed by Michael Moore. So it's badass all around. TYTnetwork.com/join. Okay, what's next?
Okay, there's still a ton of racist monuments in America, but take that number that pre-existed and subtract one from it, because in Durham, North Carolina, for years there was a Confederate monument outside of one of the courthouses, and then this happened. Let's take a look at video 3. So that video was established in 1924, and it was a monument to Confederate soldiers. And underneath it, it said, in memory of the boys who wore gray. Following the events in Charlottesville, there was a demonstration during which the monument was taken down. There's a handful of responses that we're gonna go over today and some of the fallout from it, including the words from the governor. But first, we're going to take a look at video 5, which shows one man, his reaction to it. So let's take a look.
Sir, would you be willing to talk with us as to...
The only thing I got to say, what you see right here is a bunch of liberal democratic thugs that's backed by Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Has caused all this stuff throughout the South related to the taking down of the monuments and the Confederate flags. Close thing, but I got you.
Thank you.
So, in case you didn't see, he put a Confederate flag at the base, a battle flag at the base of that monument with nothing on it anymore.
If he's saying that it's Barney Sanders. My favorite thing out of this whole story is against the Confederacy, which committed treason against the United States of America and supported slavery. I agree. Barney is against that, and so am I. And there was a really interesting symbolism there that was probably unintended of basically a rope around the neck of the Confederate soldier as they brought it down. Now, in that case, it's just symbolism. It wasn't a person. In the past, it was a person and it was being done to the other side. And now also on a lighter note, they gotta be careful with those statues. Somebody's gonna get hurt.
Okay. It was terrifying to watch it. I was happy that people had kind of cleared out. Because you don't know what's gonna happen when it hits the ground. Okay, and then here's another reaction. This is from Doug McElway, who is a reporter for Fox News. We're gonna take a look at video 7.
In Richmond, Virginia, not far from here, the former capital of the Confederacy, where there are already heated discussions about what to do with Monument Avenue, which hosts a variety of Confederate statues there. The mayor of that city wants to preserve the statues, but preserve them in context. That is unpalatable, as you can understand, to a lot of people. Those who find the whole system of slavery to be so abhorrent that we should have no memories of it whatsoever. To those who believe that what their great-great-great-great-granddaddy did in the Civil War should be remembered and preserved.
So that's a common context that a lot of people try to portray around the removal of statues, something that their great great granddaddy did.
Yeah. So my point to that is there were a lot of German soldiers in World War II who were not Nazis. Not all the soldiers were Nazis, the higher ups were Nazis. So that doesn't mean that if your great great granddaddy was a German soldier in World War II, that he was a bad person, you were a bad person, and your whole lineage and your whole race or ethnicity is bad. It doesn't mean that at all. We don't make the same mistakes that the other side does, which is just judging people based on who they are. Okay? But does that mean we should put up monuments in Germany to old Nazi soldiers?
And idolize them?
No.
Specifically, right. Put them outside of the courthouse.
Right.
You are walking into ostensibly a place of justice, and to walk by a statue dedicated to people who fought to keep folks in chains. I don't think that sends a very good message, and I'm fine taking them down.
So we live in a unique situation where we had a civil war in this country, and one side betrayed the United States. But we accepted them back because that's how magnanimous and wonderful America is. But now there's 700 monuments across the country for the traitors. And it wasn't like, well, you know, you say traitor, we say rebel. Okay, but one, they were, any way you slice it and any words you use, they rebelled against the United States of America. So never ever chant USA, USA if you're carrying a Confederate flag. Because you're supporting the people who did the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And second of all, you can say, hey, what a rebel alliance against the evil empire or whatever. Wait, in this case, if you're saying that, the evil empire is America. And second of all, you guys were the ones that had slaves. Right. So, like, there's just not a leg to stand on here other than, yeah, but it was my great grandpa. What do you want me to do about it? And so if you say, what do you want me to do about it? Then I'm on your side. No, I don't want you to do anything about it. It's not your fault. You didn't do it. That was hundreds of years ago. But if you say, no, I want to celebrate the guys who wanted to uphold slavery, I want to celebrate the people who committed treason against America, I think it's fair to say, I don't want to celebrate that in public. It's because, especially if I'm, look, if you're a decent American, this should apply to all of you. But if you're an African American and you got to walk in the shadow of that monument every day, I mean, if can imagine if they put up statues in Germany again of this example of Nazis and said, what there was our great grandpa, what can I do? And Jews, you have to walk underneath it every day. No. There's a way to say, hey, look, not everybody in that war was guilty, and we're certainly not putting it on you. And for example, Germany's wonderful now, and
that stuff's illegal.
Yeah. But we don't have to celebrate the bad guys. And in that case, they committed treason against America. They went to war. They killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. And it's not a thing we should celebrate, let alone the slavery.
So, and then also this Fox reporter, you watch the evolution of what he says into other things. So let's take a look at video 8.
And then this ventures into the area of airbrushing of history, a tactic of totalitarian governments, a common practice in the former Soviet Union where people who fell into disfavor in the government were literally airbrushed out of history.
Okay,
so they weren't literally airbrushed.
They're not airbrushed.
It's definitely not literal. I missed that. That was a problem. He had a lot of problems in what he said.
Ancient Egyptians literally photoshopped people out of history.
I love how the only way people can learn about American history is through statues that are erected in front of courthouses in America. No, okay. Erected. If you want to have a conversation about who attempts over and over again to airbrush American history, it is 100% the right wing, specifically the school board in the state of Texas that wanted to do away with civil rights leaders in their history books for grade school students, right? That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to replace people, like Thurgood Marshall. They wanted to get rid of Thurgood Marshall from the history books and replace him with freaking Phyllis Schlafly. Okay, Phyllis fucking Schlafly. You guys are the ones that want to whitewash American history to meet your goddamn agenda. Like the fact that they're saying this because people don't like celebrating individuals that fought to keep slavery in America is fucking ridiculous. And I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, so and in terms of whitewashing, I mean, what a hilarious comment. If it's one thing to say it didn't exist, no liberal in his right mind would ever say, hey, don't teach the Civil War, don't teach the Confederacy, or don't show one side of it. No, we want full context, right? Because we're not afraid of the truth. But it's a different thing to put up a statue and go, oh, bravo, traitors, bravo, right? Those are two different things. You guys are the ones who say, oh, well, slavery, that wasn't really part of the Civil War. And you're going to talk about airbrushing history? Go read what the traitors wrote. The vice presidency of the Confederacy said, this is about slavery. We want to keep our slaves. And you're talking about airbrushing history? Come on. Now, having said all this, I'm a little concerned about people doing this on their own. And I don't think I want that to happen. But that's an interesting conversation. And I want us to have it, and I want to ask you guys about it. Because one, this is a small issue, but the little safety issue of one of those tests is gonna fall on somebody, right? But secondarily, we should vote on it. You can't take the law into your own hands. So as much as that's a very cathartic moment, and I'm not looking to punish the people who did it, but going forward, that's a thing we have to decide as a society. So, and that's okay, because we'll have this conversation and many more like this to get to that decision and to get to a point where we won the majority. You see what I'm saying?
And various parts of that conversation were addressed by the North Carolina governor really quickly. And we'll talk about that when we talk about his reaction to this. But really quickly, let's do the final video from Doug McElway about the person, you know, who drove the car into the crowd in Charlottesville, killing one person. Let's watch that video number 9.
Heather Heyer, the young woman, the 32-year-old who was killed by the white vigilante who mowed down people in downtown Charlottesville on Saturday.
Just an interesting aspect of it, calling him a vigilante.
This guy was building up the whole time.
He's the one who also interviewed one of the guys walking in front, and we did yesterday, I believe. When he asked him what's going on, he said it's those effing Jew lovers are trying to gas us, something like that. So this is the same reporter. And when later on that same one from yesterday, they asked him, where are you from? What news outlet are you from? He goes, Fox News. And there was a pride behind it, like, you guys aren't gonna mess with me. I'm from Fox News, it's okay. You're in a safe place here to continue your
Right, because chance. I'm fair and balanced and my priority is the truth.
Yeah. So he continued his ramp up. But first he talks about the two perspectives. Just there's tones in the way he talks. In previous videos, I'm gonna relapse a few things. I'm sorry. So he goes, people that thought slavery was so abhorrent that it should be completely eliminated from any kind of memory, versus the people who thought the great granddaddies. So there's this comfort wording of great granddaddy.
Yes.
So if you're talking officially about people, you'd say, oh, their great grandfathers, their ancestors, their folks who fought in the war. Instead, it's their great granddaddies. It's so close to home. Those are multiple generations removed. People's fathers can be criminals and go to jail. And you're supposed to, hey, don't follow what your father did. Just because he's your father doesn't mean you got to do that same stupid shit. But anyway, he was welcoming it. Then went on to how it's like a totalitarian government. He kept going. And I was like, how far is this guy going to go? When is this stand-up news report going to keep changing? And then now the terrorist who ran through a crowd of people protesting is a vigilante. He's out for justice now? He's a vigilante because the police aren't doing it? So the entire picture was painted a certain way, and it just got more and more disgusting.
Yeah, no, that's saying the last clip was so over the top. Mm-hmm. And the clip that JR is referencing when one of the neo-Nazis talked about Jew lovers that we showed on the show yesterday, and then he kind of chuckles, Doug McAvoy does, and goes, excuse his French. Not French, okay? And it's not cute and it's not clever. And so, but you know what? That's just at spur of the moment. I didn't hold that against him. And that's how do you react to such an insane thing to say? But when he comes talking about people's granddaddies and why washing out their poor great granddaddies and a vigilante he did something, and so like you saw it, the tone of that was pretty disgusting. But back to the core issue of the monuments. Today the woman who pulled that monument down was arrested.
Takiyah Thompson.
Yes, and she climbed a ladder and she put the rope around the statue. And so now a lot of people are very, very frustrated because DeAndre Harris was viciously beaten in a garage during the Charlottesville riots. And by the way, it's interesting how, you know, we have used neo-Nazi Klan, et cetera, and the media uses it, but those guys somehow didn't get called a riot when the right wing was doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know, thugs, some people call them thugs, others not as much. And the cops, I think, showed a lot of restraint there. And they haven't caught any of the people who beat DeAndre Harris. And he got 8 staples in his head, broken bones, chipped tooth, etc. So now, look, to be fair, maybe it's harder to identify them, find them, etc. I'm not saying that's the end all be all and that's the only thing you should think about. And it was easier to find Takiyah Thompson. Look, I don't think they should do it again. I'm curious what you guys say, anybody, right? Because it's different people in different places. Mm-hmm. And so, but at the same time, I think that if I'm on the jury, I say let her go.
Right, and that's what a lot of people are asking for. She says, quote, I did the right thing. Everyone who was there, they did the right thing. That statue glorifies in conditions, the conditions that oppressed people live in, and it had to go. It needs to be in the garbage. But there's mixed messages is what a lot of folks are saying coming out of this. Like the sheriff, Mike Andrews, said, let me be clear, no one is getting away with what happened. And then, as we mentioned earlier, the governor took to Twitter, Graphic 6, saying, racism and deadly violence in Charlottesville is unacceptable, but there is a better way to remove these monuments, #Durham. So that's the governor saying there's a better way. In the wake of that, a lot of folks were saying, what do you mean? You're saying it should stay up. He followed up with an op-ed today. And in that op-ed, he calls for 3 specific courses of action. First, he says, I've asked the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to determine the cost and logistics of removing Confederate monuments from state property, as well as alternatives for their placement at museums or historical sites where they can be studied in context. Secondly, there is a law from 2015 saying that if you want to move any of these, you need the permission of the state. The governor says that should not be the case, and so he's calling for the repeal of that law. And he says, quote, graphic 15, cities, counties, and the states must have the authority and the opportunity to make these decisions. And finally, the third thing he said is, the North Carolina legislature should defeat a bill that grants immunity from liability to motorists who strike protesters. The Senate should kill it, full stop. So there is a law right now going through the North Carolina legislature. It was passed by the House, giving immunity to folks who, and this is not the only state where this happens. There's other states where this is a law or is in the process of trying to get passed that grants immunity to people who drive into protesters. This we heard about first in the Dakota Access Pipeline where they tried to pass this law. And so the governor says that this should be brought to an end.
Those lawmakers in the House in North Carolina who voted in favor of that legislation are terrible people. And they are not fit to be representatives of any human being, regardless of political ideology. If you ever think that it's acceptable to run over anyone, regardless of their political ideology, regardless of the reasons why they're on that road or on that sidewalk protesting, you're an embarrassment to the human race.
So yeah, North Carolina, North Dakota legislators are in a race to embarrass themselves. Really? I mean, you're for law and order and you think people should run over protesters exercising their First Amendment rights as Americans? You can get frustrated that people are on the road. But by the way, we do rallies on the road all the time. I mean, it's an American tradition. We do 4th of July celebrations on the road. We do a lot of things on the road. And most of the time people have permits, but not every time. So you think the idea for something that annoys you because they're either not your ideology or they're blocking traffic for a second is to kill them? And that you want to put that into law? Are you insane? And now we're talking about putting Takiyah Thompson in jail. No. I mean, we have to have a sense of proportionality here. Again, I don't want the people taking the law into their own hands, because then we're going to have a contest between who can rip down the most amount of statues. And I'm not sure, I can see the Trump guys trying to take down the Statue of Liberty now. Okay, yes. So I'm not in favor of that. But at the same time, I mean, these are not the same thing. So here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to put an African American in prison and take away their freedom for taking down a statue of a Confederate soldier who's trying to take their freedom away forever. Not going to do that, okay? So having said that, now let's get back to order a little bit. And guys, as much as we want to take down these monuments and we're frustrated, I believe in our system. And boy, it's a rough ride sometimes, I get that. I mean, that's a great, great understatement. But we got to get a majority of people to agree with us, and then let's take them down through our system of government and democracy. So that's my take on it. We have a poll on it, right?
Graphic 7 is the poll, if we can bring that up, on this very issue. So the statute of limitations, should they have pulled down the Confederate monument in North Carolina, yes or no?
So tytnetwork.com/monument. What we're really asking there is, you know, should they do it again? And everybody's worked up, super understandably, because somebody just got killed by neo-Nazis and the Klan guys, etc., and the alt-right down in Charlottesville. In that moment of passion, you take down a statue. I'm not putting you in prison over it, especially given the context of it. But what I'm asking you is, because people are going to want to do it again. And some of you might think, that's fine, man. No, we're not going to have those monuments up for one more second, right? And I understand that frustration. I'm saying, I think we should do it through government. And yes, some of those governments are deeply Republican. They're not going to want to move for a long time. And it might even take decades in places like Mississippi. And that is deeply, deeply frustrating. But I still think we should go through that process.
Well, part of what was saying, he was standing in front of the General Lee statue, which now they're worried that's the next target for the vigilantes. So there's, of course, protectors of the statue. They're going to start forming. Now we're going to get fights. We're going to get clashes. So it's just as far as a governmental point of view, it's just you have to think about general public safety. Because now you're going to have fights break out. Weapons right. Going to be drawn.
Yes.
And so people want people beaten from whichever side you want. You just want to avoid conflicts.
For about 12 minutes, there was a alt-right rally planned at Texas A&M for September 11th. Mm. And the university said, we're just too concerned for people's safety. We have something to point to now. We canceled it.
So are we all agreed, Anna, also don't tear down any monuments?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. Okay, I hear you. And there is that sense of frustration in the country.
Yeah, we keep playing fair. We keep playing fair with individuals who have no interest in playing fair. No interest whatsoever. So that's where my frustration comes from.
I think you can. I think in these situations you can look logically. I'm fine with when people say things like these need to be appreciated in the proper context. Mm-hmm. I think they're being disingenuous when there is a. I mean, I did a lot of research. I did a video about this where it was a sing along to all the Confederate monuments in America. Within like the State House in Tennessee, there is a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest. It is a ridiculous place to have it, in a place that represents legality and the legislative process in courthouses. It just shouldn't be there because of what it absolutely stands for. And when you say it should be appreciated in context, that doesn't mean putting a plaque underneath that no one's gonna read. I think if you put it in a museum, that's fine. I think right now, if I were to think about the kinds of statues I want in a museum, if you had a whole museum full of these monuments, and that museum showed the same way other countries in the past and other places have said, this was a dark time in our history. We have a monument saying that we're sorry for the internment of Japanese Americans, and it says this was a low point in our history. That's one context, and I think a very strong statue to have in the proper context is this one. Is this mangled, completely destroyed statue saying this was in front of the State House? This is what people started to do. And I think in the best interest and safety of folks to have this process go forward and find the right equilibrium to say, like, we need to get rid of these. And we need to first start with the ones that are in the worst positions that are you are super the most disingenuous to say that these are, you know, let's put a plaque in here when it's in front of a State House.
Yeah. So look, final thought on this. This is America. We do believe in freedom of speech. And the Klan does get to hold rallies. They do. And that is deeply, deeply frustrating. But that's part of the freedom of speech. So what they don't get to do is run over people and murder them. And so that has to have consequences. And what they don't get to do is say, well, now you have to like me. No, I don't have to like you. I have to let you speak, but then I can condemn you very, very forcefully. And so last thing on the statue in particular is it reminded me a little bit of pulling down Saddam Hussein's statue. There's a moment after you've been abused by this guy and tortured and oppressed by this guy, there's a moment of venting when the Americans came into Baghdad where the Iraqis pulled down the statue of Saddam Hussein because they didn't want it anymore, and let alone tearing down the wall in Berlin. There is those cathartic moments, and this was one of those cathartic moments. I think we have to leave it where it is because I think JR is absolutely right. This could spin out of control, and I think that's not good for anyone involved. At the same time, are we gonna go prosecute the people who tore down the Berlin Wall? No, we're not. Don't put that woman in jail. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. We're way out of time, guys. We do have a really interesting post game for you guys in the Chuck D. Tom Morello interview coming up. TYTnetwork.com/join. Bye bye.